Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gathered the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. We're going to be talking about the parable of the tares. And this is a follow-up to the parable of the sower, which we looked at last week. And again, Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables. They're simple stories that are easily understood in most cases, and they were given to the multitudes so the multitude could understand the kingdom of heaven. They could understand Jesus' purpose for being on the earth. They could understand their purpose and how they fit into the kingdom. And so this parable is about the parable of the tares. And as you know, a tare is a wild weed, or a weed that comes up in a field, or it is seeds that come up in the good seeds, and so they need to be cleaned out, or they need to be carried out in some way or another. In the farm vernacular, we use seed cleaners to clean out the tares, and we also use cultivating equipment to clean out the wild weeds and the weeds we don't want that are in the row with the good seeds. And so this is what Jesus is talking about, the tares of the bad plants, the plants and the seed that are not wanted, that come up inside the field where the good seed is planted. So he says in verse 24 of chapter 13, another parable Jesus put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servants said to them, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up?' But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let them grow together until the harvest, and at the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" Well, those of you who have gardened before and maybe gardening now, you know that sometimes when you go out to cultivate, and if you're pulling weeds, especially in crops like carrots or beets or some crop like that where the seeds are very close together, that if you pull the weeds up, sometimes you pull up the good crop, the good seed, as well as the weeds. And especially if that weed is very big and it has a clump of dirt around the roots, sometimes when you pull it up, it will uproot the beets, it will uproot the carrots. And so you lose not only the bad seed, the bad crop, but you lose the crop that you were trying to grow. And so Jesus said here that to the servants, he said, "No, don't go out there and pull up the tares right now. Let them grow up together until the harvest. And then at that time, I will say to the reapers, gather the tares first and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Well, Jesus gave an explanation of this parable to the people, to the multitudes, because he said to the disciples, "I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the foundation of the world." And so he wanted the disciples to understand. He wanted the multitudes to understand. And so in verse 36, then Jesus sent the multitude away, and he went into the house, and his disciples came to him saying, "Explain to us, Jesus, the parable of the tares of the field." And he answered and said to them in verse 37, "He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man, and the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one." And so Jesus takes this out of the field, out of the picture of the farm, and he now extrapolates it to, this is a picture of the whole world. This is a picture of the Son of Man sowing the good seed, in the world, and the field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, that is, those who have accepted Jesus, those who are believers and have been born again and have come to know Jesus. And then the bad seed, the bad tares, are the sons of the wicked one, or the sons of the devil. And so Jesus is giving a picture of salvation here. He's giving a picture of the end time scenario, the end time judgment. Everything of the kingdom of God is wrapped up in this one parable. And so it has great implications for us as believers. It also has great implications for you out there. If you are not a believer, if you have not been born again, if you have never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, everything really that you need to know about salvation, everything that you need to know about your life here on this earth, everything that you need to know about the end time coming judgment is written and explained here in this parable of the tares. And so the field is the world. We all live in the world. There's no way to escape it. Many, many people are trying to escape it. They're using drugs. They're using alcohol. They are in an escapist mode, trying to escape the responsibilities and just the daily struggle of living in this world. But beloved, there is no way to escape it. If you go back into yourself, driven there by drugs or driven there by legal prescriptions, eventually someday you're going to have to confront the issues that are bothering you. If you're full of anxiety, if you're full of fear, if you're full of trepidation about your daily life or relationships that you have, you are going to have to confront those issues in your life. There's no way to escape it. And many, many people, unfortunately, I just read this week that the second leading cause of death for those in the 14 to 34 category, the second leading cause of death is suicide for those people who are in that category. And I pray that if you are having thoughts of suicide, get in touch with me, get in touch with a local pastor, get in touch with somebody who is strong in their walk with the Lord. You can email me, pureprayer@hotmail.com, and get in touch with me. But if you are having thoughts of suicide, you need to get in touch with somebody. You need to talk to somebody and get your feelings out and get your emotions under control. Suicide is not an answer for you. It is not God's will for your life. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, how grim things look. God's will for you is to live out your days and to live out your destiny that He has called you to live out and that He has proclaimed and decreed over your life. And so if you are dealing with thoughts of suicide, get in touch with somebody and do it immediately. Do it today. Do not put it off. And God will give you the comfort. He will give you the direction. He will give you the encouragement that you need to withstand these evil thoughts in your mind. So again, Jesus said, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. If you are a son of the kingdom, if you are born again, beloved, you are a good seed planted out there in the world. There's a reason you're out there, and it's not just to take up space or to breathe air. God has put you in the world. He created you, first of all, to worship Him and bring glory and honor to Him in your life. But secondly, He has then also created you to share your testimony, to share the message, to bring the good news of the gospel to others, to move the kingdom of God forward here on this earth. And that is your calling. That is my calling. That is all of our calling. For those of us who know Jesus, we are left here on this earth. If it were not so, then immediately after we were saved, Jesus would just take us up and take us home. But He does not do that. He leaves us here on this earth so that we can move forward the kingdom of God through our good works for the kingdom and through our love for other people, that we share the kingdom of God with other people, and then they can come to know Jesus in their life, and they can come to know the hope that does not disappoint. They can come to be born again. And so God wants to use you in that way. Well, in verse 39, Jesus goes on to say, the enemy who sowed the tares is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Well, God has His reapers. He has His angels. that come to do his work, not just to reap the harvest, but in every way. The angels are the messengers of God. They are the workers of God. There are many different kinds of angels. There are archangels, Michael and Gabriel. There are also healing angels, angels sent to touch people with healing. There are angels sent to war, warring angels to war over strongholds and war over sin and generation curses and iniquity in people's lives. There's all kinds of angels that God uses. Hebrews 1:14 says, what are the angels, or who are the angels, but ministering spirits sent out to minister to those who inherit salvation. And so God wants to put his angels to work. He's waiting for us to pray, and he is waiting for us to ask him and request of him to send the angels out. And so when you pray, you ask the Lord, Lord, send your angels to my son who does not know Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior, or send your angels to a person that you know in the hospital. Lord, send your ministering healing angels to touch that person's body in whatever place they need healing. Or Lord, send your angels to war over a person who is struggling with alcohol addiction or drug addiction or pornography or thoughts of suicide. Lord, we ask you to send your angels. And that is the way to pray and ask the Lord, request the Lord. Don't demand it, just ask and request. Lord, send your angels. Ask and you shall receive. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened for you. Because if anyone asks, he receives. If anyone seeks, he finds. And if anyone knocks on the door shall be opened for him. And so the enemy who sows the tares is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age. The reapers are the angels. And in verse 40, then Jesus says, therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be weeping and gnashing, or wailing and gnashing of teeth. And then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, beloved, unfortunately for some people, that is a picture of hell. And people say, well, hell isn't a real place. Well, beloved, if you believe that the Word of God is true, if you believe that Jesus Christ is speaking the truth, then you have to understand that Jesus spoke about hell. He did not want us to be ignorant on the subject of hell. He did not want people to be ignorant of where they might end up if they were in a lawless state, or if they were in an unrighteous state and they practiced lawlessness. And so Jesus spoke about hell to warn us of what the consequences of a lawless, unrighteous life would be, a life separated from God, a life separated from Jesus. And so that is the reason Jesus spoke about it. Actually, he spoke about hell in the Bible more than he actually did about heaven. And so there is plenty of warning given to us because Jesus does not want to see anyone end up in hell. Hell was created for the devil and the fallen angels, those angels that rebelled, and Satan who rebelled, Lucifer who rebelled out of heaven. And so that was what the purpose of hell is, was a place of abode where they would be eternally separated from God. And so they are not there now. They're not bound there. There are a few that are bound there, but most of the demons are not bound there. They're free and able to roam around, able to torment, able to take us into deep, dark places in our life, able to take us into places of addiction and hate and anger and murder and unforgiveness. And so hell is a real place, beloved. If you do not believe that, I feel sorry for you, because you may be headed there and you may be denying the fact that it is a real place, and you are denying the fact that it is a place that eventually you may end up in because you have denied the truth of the gospel. And so Jesus said that they will be cast into the furnace of fire. Well, I'm going to take us here in just a minute to Revelation, and we're going to look closely at that furnace of fire. That is the great white throne judgment. That is the lake of fire, spoken about the final resting place for the devil and his angels, for death, Hades, and all those who have denied Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that is the final resting place, the furnace of fire. And Jesus said there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Well, beloved, that doesn't even start to describe what goes on in hell. That doesn't even start to describe what is going to be taking place there. And it's not just for a minute or an hour or a day. It is for all eternity. It is for all eternity. It will never end. The worm never dies. The fire never goes out there. And so if I'm putting a little bit of hellfire and brimstone out over the airwaves today, that's okay. Maybe somebody needs to be frightened just a little bit. Maybe somebody needs to be shook out of their doldrums, out of their lethargy, out of their procrastination. Beloved, if nothing else, come to Jesus, because you don't want to spend eternity in hell. Beloved, come to Jesus, because wailing and gnashing of teeth is not a good scenario. It's not good for you. It's not good for me. It's not good for our children. Don't go there. Don't desire it. Come to Jesus. He offers us the alternative in verse 43. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. And let he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, beloved, I hope you have ears to hear today. I hope you have revelation, not biological ears, but I hope you receive revelation from this teaching that Jesus wants you to be in heaven with him. He wants you to shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father, and not to spend your days in hell where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and for all eternity the people there are going to be suffering, not just because they're suffering separated from God, but they're going to be suffering torment because their soul and their spirit is there with the devil and all of the fallen angels and those who have denied Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Well, what is the salvation plan? What is the salvation program, the promise that we have, that we can come to know the Lord Jesus, that we can know that we're saved, that we can accept him and be born again, and know that we are going to be then in that sun in the kingdom of heaven with the Father? Well, in John 3:16, most of you know this scripture, I'm sure, but this pretty much sums up the salvation picture here in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So it's very simple, beloved. If you believe in Jesus, if you believe in the Son of God, then you are not condemned. The condemnation has been taken off of you. God has forgiven your sins. He has forgotten your sins as far as the east is to the west. When he looks down upon your life, when he looks down upon my life, and he sees you, he sees me, he sees us covered by the blood of Jesus. And so that blood covers us. The precious, holy, perfect blood of Jesus covers our sin. And so God sees us as he sees his own Son. And yes, we continue to sin. We continue to make mistakes. Just because we're covered by the blood of Jesus does not mean that we are now perfect and never sin. No, that is a misconception that some people have. But we are covered by the blood of Jesus. All we need to do is ask God to forgive us, and he is faithful and true to forgive us. And then we go on about our business of sanctification, of holiness, of righteousness. We go on about our business to become even more sanctified and more mature, more perfect in the will of God. And so God sent his Son to bring the news to us, bring the good news that we can have eternal life. And it says in verse 18, he who believes in Jesus is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And then he goes on to explain in verse 19 of John 3, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and man loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. And so John is saying that men love their sin, and we know that is true. Those of us who have walked with the devil in a deep way, we know how pleasurable it can be for a while. We know how much enticement and excitement there is in walking with the devil, and it seems to be a very enticing and engaging and exciting, full of thrills, but it is only that way for a moment. It is only that way for a season. It is only pleasurable for a season, and then the consequences of living a life that is full of sin and full of rebellion, then they start to take hold, and the consequences are always very serious. The consequences are always very painful, and the consequences then catch up to us. God is not mocked. We always reap what we sow, and so when we sow to corruption, we will eventually reap corruption. And so John says the condemnation is that men love the darkness rather than the light, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. So people don't want to have their deeds exposed. They like for their deeds to be covered in darkness. That's why most of sexual immorality and stealing and all of that type of stuff goes on at night. A lot of dissipation and debauchery goes on at night. And so people love the darkness. They love to revel in the darkness. They love to have their deeds covered up by the darkness. And not only the darkness of night, but at the darkness of their soul. And the darkness of the devil then pervades their life and leads them farther and farther away from God. Well, the judgments are described in two passages of Scripture, basically, and this is what Jesus was referring to when he said to the angels, the reapers, to go out and bring in the harvest of first the good crop, and then secondly the tares. For those who believe and the judgment has been taken off of them, the judgment seat of Christ applies to them. This is 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So this is the judgment for those who believe. This is the judgment for those who have confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They are no longer under condemnation. The condemnation, the guilt, the shame has been pronounced and taken off of them, and so they receive the judgment seat of Christ, or they go to the judgment seat of Christ, where Jesus judges their works according to what they have done, good or bad, that each may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. And so it's not a judgment for salvation. The issue of salvation has already been determined by the person being born again, and so there is no judgment against them for salvation. And so they are invited into the kingdom of heaven. Their rewards, their crowns of glory, their crowns of righteousness are then given to them according to the works which they have done, good or bad. But for those who do not accept Jesus, for those who have never been born again, the Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, which is the great white throne judgment, then is for unbelievers. And this judgment is pronounced on those who never accepted Jesus, who never accepted the light, who reveled in the darkness, who loved to stay in the darkness of their sin. And so this is the great white throne judgment. Revelation 20, verse 10, the devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then in verse 11, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face The earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place for them. Well, the great white throne, that person sitting on the throne, is Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest. He is on the throne, and he is ready to make a judgment, make a pronunciation over every person who denied him and denied that he was the Lord of their life. And verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. And anyone, verse 15, not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire with the devil, with the false prophet, with the beast, with the devil and his angels. That is the final resting place for all of those who have rebelled against the truth of the gospel, who have rebelled against the Lord of the harvest and denied Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, beloved, I hope that is not you today. I hope that you are walking in the freedom of knowing that Jesus is your Lord, that Jesus is your Savior. If you have never confessed that, would you do that today? Just confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Say, Jesus, I want you to come into my heart. I want to confess and repent of my sin, turn from my wicked ways, and I'm going to give you, Jesus, the authority to come into my life, submit myself to you, and be a submissive servant for your kingdom from this day forward and forevermore. If you've made that decision today, email me, purepray@hotmail.com. I'll get you some material to help you in your walk as you get started walking and walking with the Lord Jesus from this day forth forevermore. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I pray that you would come alongside this ministry, boost us, and help us to be everything that God wants us to be, that we can continue to bring these great messages and also continue to do the work in Africa that God has called us to do. Stay tuned for contact information, how you can get in touch with us. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to have your support. And if you will do that, you will be blessed and the kingdom of God will move forward through this ministry. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.